42 minutes had perhaps been an overly optimistic estimate of how much persuasion he could deal with. Cullen was very good with a knife, and it was becoming apparent that 42 minutes exceeded his physical limits. He was only 26 minutes in, and already he was considering the possibility that discretion was the better part of valor. Still, it had been necessary. Cullen would have suspected something if Sherlock had simply volunteered to open the box after denying it was possible. His logic had been sound. But John would be awake soon. John could not see this. Him, like this, barely able to control his own vocal cords and whispering the periodic table to himself like a madman. If John had, for a moment, suspected what he'd meant by "persuade me to open the box," he would have been horrified. He wouldn't have stood for it, because that was John, decent to his core. Decency did not stand a chance against a man like Cullen. John had been mistaken about one thing. There was absolutely nothing about this monster that surprised Sherlock. Sherlock pressed his cheek against the rusting iron support beam he'd been cuffed to, clenching his teeth as the knife dug into his back again. All right, that was enough of that. "Give me the box," he grated.
Give me the box, what?
Ugh, this wasn't new. Sherlock had learnt this sort of humiliation from a master. "Give me the box, please." Cullen chuckled and pulled the knife away.
Good boy.
He rose to his feet and pulled out his phone.
Now look at me.
Sherlock forced himself to straighten and look at Cullen's phone, trying not to blink as the flash went off. "And where are you sending these?"
What makes you think I'm sending them anywhere? I have a private collection.
Cullen pulled the puzzle box from his coat pocket and tossed it to Sherlock. Sherlock caught it and began, methodically and mechanically, to go through the motions of attempting to solve the puzzle. "You keep moving about, looking for a signal, which must be difficult to find down here. You've been sending and receiving text messages." Cullen raised his head to regard him intently. The antique oil lamp the man had chosen to light the room cast harsh shadows on his face, highlighting features and expressions that modern lighting never fully captured. Sherlock was immune to such theatrical atmospherics, but the effort Cullen had taken to create them spoke to his state of mind rather accurately.
Has anyone ever told you that you notice too much, freak?
"Frequently. Are you going to answer me?" Cullen smiled.
The man who hired me. But you'd already guessed that, hadn't you?
"I never guess. I don't imagine your employer is very pleased with you right now."
What makes you say that?
Cullen slipped his phone into his pocket and wandered too nonchalantly toward the stack of wooden crates that served as his instrument table. There was a long story lying on those crates. Sherlock almost shrugged, then thought better of it. "You were hired to recover the box and its contents, not indulge your personal interests."
My employer and I share a lot of interests.
Cullen picked up the writing crop and examined it.
He's very interested in you, by the way. He's told me a lot about you.
"Has he? That was considerate of him." If Cullen was lying, he was doing it extremely well. An incoherent mutter from John drew Sherlock's attention. John was stirring, trying to pull away from the rusting, mud-encased machinery he was cuffed to. Damn, too soon. Sherlock slid to his left slightly, just enough so that John wouldn't be able to see his back. It was the least of his worries, but at least it was something. Cullen wasn't anywhere near done with him, and John would see it happen. It had been absurd to think that he could protect John from that. He seemed to have been prone to absurd thoughts lately.
Oh, look, the doctor's waking up.
Sherlock stiffened as Cullen moved to John's side and shoved the writing crop under John's chin, forcing his head up.
Welcome back, John.
John's eyelids fluttered for a moment, then snapped open. He stared up at Cullen with wide and dilated eyes, obviously disoriented. He took a breath.
Cullen.
It was obviously difficult for him to speak.
You remembered. That's sweet. Now watch carefully, because I don't want to repeat myself.
Cullen pulled away from John, and Sherlock started breathing again. He had to hold Cullen's interest. Somehow he had to keep Cullen focused on him, because the thought of this maniac putting his hands on John was intolerable. Sherlock watched the man's face as he returned to his side. I don't suppose this kindred spirit has a... Cullen swung about, swinging the riding crop with enthusiasm, and struck Sherlock across his bleeding back. The puzzle box dropped from Sherlock's hands as he bit back a cry, not entirely successfully, and scrambled to reassemble his defences. Before he could recover, Cullen swung again, and again.
So much inquisitiveness. It's not polite, Sherlock. It's like shagging talk at the breakfast table. Someone never taught you manners, freak.
Sherlock heard a strangled intake of breath from John, and hastily turned his face away, clenching his teeth and pinching his eyes shut. Keep quiet, you idiot. Don't let him see—
Oh no, don't be shy.
Cullen grabbed Sherlock by the hair and forced him to turn his face toward John again.
I'm sure John wants to see you after being asleep so long. He's missed so much of this.
He resumed the beating with more energy than Sherlock would have expected, given the fact that Cullen had undoubtedly carried both himself and John down here. There had been no sign of Pete thus far, and... What remained of coherent thought floated away. He tried to re-establish a connection, but found himself reduced to gasping out random syllables that bore no resemblance to the periodic table whatsoever.
Stop it!
John sounded like he had gravel in his throat.
Let him be! How the hell can he open that box for you if you kill him?
Kill him?
Cullen paused in his efforts.
Of course I'm not going to kill him, John. That would be counterproductive.
He pulled his phone out again.
Look at me, Sherlock.
Sherlock lifted his head and opened his eyes. He didn't look at Cullen. He looked at John. He needed to look at John. John stared back at him wordlessly, his face drawn in pain, as if he'd been beaten as well. That healer's empathy of his might get John killed down here, but seeing it was like air to a drowning man.
I said, look at me!
Cullen administered another blow, and Sherlock flinched and complied. Cullen snapped another photo.
You sick pig!
Sherlock suppressed a groan. Well, John had regained full use of his vocal cords. Before Sherlock could even attempt to undo the damage, Cullen was squatting in front of John, that damned crop shoved up under John's chin.
That was rude,
Cullen said softly.
It was accurate,
John spat back.
Leave him alone!
John! Sherlock cut in sharply. Cullen's phone chimed, and Sherlock held his breath. How much control did Cullen's employer have over him? If the man was who Sherlock suspected it was, perhaps it would be enough, just enough, to keep Cullen on his leash, to keep John alive. Cullen stared into John's face for, perhaps, a second, then took John's head in his hands and slammed it into the iron wreck behind him. John slumped forward, unconscious. Sherlock lunged forward, stupidly, unable to stop himself. John!
Get back to work.
Cullen rose and strode out into the access tunnel, pulling out his phone.
And teach your friend some manners.